They've been asking questions. Life-changing moments happen or begin to happen when we ask questions, because when we get the answer, it can really change the whole situation. Where is he, they asked, that is born King of the Jews? People have asked questions that have really changed the whole situation. For example, Isaac Newton asked the question, if that apple's fallen to the ground, what about the moon? Will that fall as well? Well, somebody said it was a little bit like that. But he sought the answer, and he found out all about the law of gravity. And so things began to expand, explode, and all people were asking questions like that. In 1785, Peter Packard asked a question, and it was at the University of Cambridge where he asked it. The people had to reply in their essay, their thesis, whatever it was, in Latin, but we will have it in English. He asked the question, is it lawful to enslave people against their will? And the person that came top, that answered that, saying that it wasn't lawful, was a man called Thomas Clarkson. And as he answered that question, he received the prize. Going home, returning from Cambridge to London, he was on his horse, and as he was going back, it suddenly hit him. If my answer is right, and if what I have said is true, then I must do something about it. He got off his horse and he sat down and he thought about it. Eventually, he made it home and started out as one of the abolitionists that was against slavery, working to free the slaves. You see, he said, if what I have written is true, then I must do something about it. And if we ask a question and we get the answer, and the answer is something that really hits us strongly and powerfully, then we've got to do something about it. I come from a city called Peterborough. And many years ago, a couple of hundred years ago, they heard about electricity. And so the councillors in Peterborough said, there's electricity. It might be good for our city. And so they looked into it and they said, we will ask the gas board if electricity is something Peterborough would benefit from. You might guess the answer from the gas board. But I do want to tell you today, in spite of what the gas board said, there is electricity in Peterborough. You know, if we ask a question, we've got to ask the right person, haven't we? Oh, they should have gone and asked one of the other cities that was installing electricity or had installed it. What was it like? Would it do any good at all? You see, questions can really transform a whole situation. They have caused riots and revolutions, asking questions. They have changed the whole things in society because people have asked questions and found the answer. And Herod was asked the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And the next verse says that Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. It isn't surprising Herod was troubled about that. He had already, prior to this, killed three of his sons to stop them taking over his throne. He had killed a wife that he dearly loved and grieved over for years, in spite of the fact that he had her executed. He wasn't a very nice man. And so when somebody said, there is a rival to your throne, somebody that is born here, king of the Jews. The trouble was that when he called the priests and they told him the answer, he did not encourage anyone. In fact, nobody went with the wise men. Not one of them traveled with the wise men and said, we'll come and see where he is. Nobody in Jerusalem went with him. Why didn't they go with him? There is a phrase used in the court of law and other situations, and the phrase is this: undue influence. Herod had an undue influence on the whole of Jerusalem. He said, I'm the king, we're having no other. And so nobody else was prepared to go with the wise men. They were on their own. They left and they went and they found Jesus, as you know, a little while later, living in a house. We can have undue influence upon us today. There are times and places where people are influenced to make an unwise decision about their own personal life, fortune, and other things. For example, we have the media. And the media, as we know, is not always correct. Social media especially. But lots of things in life we can be unduly influenced by. We can be affected by them. We can make a decision because of certain things that they suggest. Not only is there the media, there is peer pressure and people all around us that are making decisions. And often they say something like this, everybody's doing it, or whatever it is that they're doing. Every priest should have left what they were doing. Every person in Jerusalem should have said, we're coming with you to find him, because they knew really that they were talking about the Messiah, the one that was to come for the Jews. But they didn't leave. They were controlled. And you know, at times, we too can be controlled. We can be influenced. Over the years, I've known many people that have been badly influenced, and they have decided not to follow Jesus because of other people influencing them. Even parents have discouraged it. But you know, it is a wonderful thing. You can break away from the crowd and you can be a follower of Jesus. The Apostle John, in his book and the first chapter, he said this about Jesus. He said, he came unto his own, and it meant his own people, but his own received him not. In fact, it could be translated, they did not want his company. Jesus came to the people that should have received him, but they didn't want his company. But he says, but as many as did, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. In other words, they had the right to choose the name of Jesus. Peterborough City Council asked the wrong people and were years behind others because they asked the wrong person. It's vitally important that we ask the right person. And if you don't know the answer to a question, is Jesus real? Will he really change my life? Will he really forgive me of all my sins? Will he do this for me? Ask somebody that's got the answer. In just over a week's time, I'm taking the funeral of a friend of mine that became a Christian at our church many years ago, in fact, in the 1980s. It happened like this. We used to have an evangelist come to Bulwell sometimes, and he would paint and preach at the same time. And he used to say to people, he that, or she that brings the most people into church will get the painting at the end of it. And so they all used to compete, and people used to get the painting. He used to do one a day. Sometimes he would start it off a bit in the afternoon, but when they came, he would finish it. And so he would preach and share the gospel and pray for the sick afterwards, and a remarkable number were wonderfully healed. But we were giving out leaflets for this service in the marketplace. And one fellow received it, and he walked into a shop. It was Cavendish Woodhouse. It was something like that, where they sold furniture. And he had got this invitation to one of our services in his hand, and he said to the salesman there, Kevin, he said, I don't want this, you have it. And so he gave it to him, and Kevin came along to the service. He gave his heart to the Lord, and he was radically changed. And after a week or two, one of the ladies that worked with him, she said to him, what's happened to you? He said, I went to church, I gave my heart to Jesus, and I'm so happy. Wonderful things have happened. I'm totally changed. She said, I know, you're totally different. He must have improved. But she said, I go to church, but I've not had that experience. So she came along to church, and she gave her heart to the Lord. And she was radically changed. God did lovely things for Mary. Oh, he touched her in body. He blessed her in soul. And so it was that it spread about, because she asked the question, what happened to you? How have you changed? I would love to tell you today that when I gave my heart to Jesus, my life was radically changed. It was totally different. I was a youngster, but my parents were blessed. Yes, I wonder today, what about you? Do you know Jesus? Have you had that lovely, wonderful experience of receiving Jesus and asking his forgiveness? It's the question. A question I give to you, but it's a question that only you can answer. But it's such a wonderful thing when you give your life to Jesus. Jesus came for you and for me, and he changed me. And perhaps all of you have had life-changing experiences by asking questions. A great question is, do you know Jesus? He's the answer, man.